The voice from the scriptures that we hear tumbling through the centuries coming to encourage us this morning. And we pray as we spend some moments now reflecting on what these mean for us, that you would speak to us clearly, relevantly, helpfully this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so these are our lectionary readings. Praise God for the lectionary. Wonderfully well-timed readings. Really, really good for us to hear this morning, I think. And we start with that passage in Genesis 12. This is God beginning the rescue plan through choosing a man, Abraham. I won't ask for a show of hands, though it might be fun to see who could beat Abraham. He was 75 years old when he had this encounter with God. So I don't know how many have got anything on him. Eric, we've been praying for from over in Hethel, who's been in hospital, had his surgery on Thursday evening, came through the surgery. He's got 22 years on Abraham. He's 97, Eric, and still doing well. Appreciate our prayers. But 75 years old, you'd think by then it would be time to be settling down, right? You know, you've learned some things, you understand how life works, you've been saving for your retirement, and now here you are. You just get a nice bungalow and settle down somewhere. I don't know how it works, really. But it's so different. 75 years old, and God speaks to Abraham, will you leave the lands where you live? Go to somewhere, you don't know where it is. You don't know where you're going. I'll show you. Are you willing to trust me and move? Can I lead you on a new journey? You don't even know what you're going to need for this journey, but just trust me and move. And Abraham, or Abram, as he was then, moved, trusted God, went forward. And this was God beginning the work of salvation, of putting things right where this world had gone so wrong. And 2,000 years later, there you go, that's playing the long game, isn't it? 2,000 years later, Jesus arrives as a culmination. Paul says in Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent his son. So God is working to the plan, and his plan works out, and his timing is perfect. But it needs these people to be willing to think again, even when they may be a bit long in the tooth and they've been around the block a few times and they think they've got a hold of, you know, what it's all about, to hear fresh from God, to move into a new chapter, a new journey. And so we come to this man Nicodemus in John and chapter 3. Wonderful passage. Some really key, important things for us to learn, I think, from this. I just want to highlight a couple of things, really, this morning. But here again, we have a man, not necessarily really old, but of an elder, as it were, a teacher of the law, a man of standing, a man of reputation, a man of wealth, quite considerable wealth. We don't actually hear in this passage how he responded to Jesus' words. What we do hear in John chapter 19, at the end of chapter 19, he's mentioned again. He's with Joseph of Arimathea, and they come and they do a deal with the Romans so that they can give Jesus a proper burial and get a tomb for him and so on. And Nicodemus brings with him 100 pounds in weight of myrrh and aloes and spices to anoint Jesus. This is wealth. This is a wealthy guy. I don't know if that says something about those with wealth and standing and reputation. Does it make it easier? Is it advantages in discovering the things of God? Or actually does it mean you're a bit more sensitive about some things and you have to come by night, as Nicodemus did? And actually we read in John chapter 19 that Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, they were believers. They were disciples of Jesus, but in secret, because they were scared of what the Jews would say about them if others knew. Interesting. So there in John chapter 19, they were believers, and yet in secret. And so they did this deal with the Romans. But we don't hear about Nicodemus or Joseph of Arimathea in Matthew or Mark or Luke. Do you know why that might be? Why? But here they are in John. And it could be, we think it's likely that that's because John was written after the other three Gospels. And by the time John was written, it was now okay to mention them by name. If they'd have mentioned them before, it would have been public. They would have, you know, got into trouble. Interesting, isn't it? But by John's time, that's in his history, isn't it? So they can be mentioned by name as these secret disciples. But here he is. He comes by night, and he wants to find out what's going on. He's kind of noticed Jesus. He's attracted, but he's still a bit shy. And he comes with his questions, and Jesus helps him. And he helps him to understand. And one teacher to another, you know, teacher Nicodemus comes to Jesus and says, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher," which means teacher. "We know that you're sent by God. You know, I recognize you as a teacher." And later on, Jesus says to him in verse 10, I think, "You are a teacher of Israel. How come you don't understand these things?" So here is a teacher and a teacher coming together, communicating, seeking some understanding. But it isn't just understanding that Jesus is offering. He says, you don't just need to understand this with your mind, you need to experience something of the living God. You need to be born of the Spirit. Start a whole new adventure, just as big as if you were being born again. And this is the life of the Spirit into which you need to come, Nicodemus. You're a teacher of Israel. You've been around the block a few times. You understand a lot of things. But you need to not just understand this, but experience the living God in a fresh way. Are you open to it? And so the two things I want to draw out really is just this need to be born of the Spirit, and also this need to have a safe place where we can come with our questions as Nicodemus needed. But let's focus on this first thing, this need to be born of the Spirit. Jesus was very clear about this here, I think, comes across quite clearly. You need to be born of the Spirit if you're to be part of this kingdom of God. And he was talking about the experience coming into this knowledge of God in this new way that was going to be made widely available. Wasn't yet available, but he was talking to Nicodemus about what was to come. We know it wasn't yet available because John mentions that a bit later in chapter 7, verse 37. He says the Spirit has not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. There's some things that had to happen in history, and then this new age of the church would begin where the Spirit of God can come. And what we find in the book of Acts is that being worked out. So in Acts chapter 2, the disciples are together, they're waiting. Now Jesus has ascended, then the Holy Spirit comes. The church is born, they preach the gospel, lots of numbers are added, and they begin to go out. And in their missionary journeys, they go out. They encounter people who knew about Jesus, who had heard about the things he'd been doing, and were telling others about it quite freely, who had experienced the baptism of John, who were, you know, you go to Acts 19 in Ephesus, and you find Apollos, a man who was a Jew of standing. He knew his scriptures. He was teaching and preaching accurately the things about Jesus. And then Aquila and Priscilla come to him and say, "But Apollos, there's something you're missing." And they took him to one side, and we're told they explained to him the way of God more accurately, because he only knew the baptism of John. If he knew the baptism of John, he'd have known the promise of John, that someone would come after John who had baptized not with water but with the Holy Spirit. This encounter with the living God again, this connection with the Spirit of God enveloping. And so he'd have known, he'd have been expectant, and he probably knew, having been preaching and teaching things about Jesus, that Jesus was expecting this to happen after some things had been fulfilled in history. And so there, Priscilla and Aquila were able to take Apollos to one side and say, "It's here now. The Holy Spirit is available now." And then they went to other disciples of John in Ephesus and gave the same message. And again, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages and worship God and so on. And so there's a real experience of the Spirit that was available. We see it again and again through the New Testament being pointed out. And Paul, when he's teaching in Hebrews in chapter 6, he says we don't need to revisit the old stuff, the elemental stuff, the beginning stuff about forgiveness of sins and And you know, the laying on of hands and the receiving of the Spirit, that belongs at the start of our Christian journey. That's the Christian birth. Now we need to press on to maturity. Actually, some of us perhaps need to go and revisit some of these fundamental, elemental things, these beginnings, the life of the Spirit. And Nicodemus needed to hear, there's something of God more for you to discover. I'm sure I've spoken before about my own experience in this. But, you know, as a teenager, I was so annoying, really. 17 and 18 year olds, I just wanted to know what was true. Give me an account for life. I need to find out what life is about. So I talked to Christians and people of other religions and all sorts of things. I went along to church. I tried to access this. Let's get some answers. And after a year of searching, concluded that Christianity made the most sense of life, that Jesus was the person in whom I'd find the truth. But I also knew I didn't know him. So one night in July, 24 years ago, I asked God to show me everything in my life that was stopping me from knowing him, from this experience of the Spirit that I'd become to believe was necessary and vital. And after 2 hours of things coming into mind and forgiving this person and renouncing this and addressing that and saying sorry for the other, I think 2 hours actually is not bad after 18 years of living, but there we go. It took me 2 hours and then nothing else came to mind. And I said, okay, God, I just want to know you. And I felt a warmth and a love and a peace and a sense of the presence of God. And it's like, yes, the Spirit of God, that connection. And it changed things for me, quite literally, overnight. And set me on a new course, a new journey, a new life. But that's my experience. And others have similar experiences. And others have very different experiences of how the Spirit works. And this is an important thing. Because, you know, the Bible also warns us about the strange fire, about the false prophets, about the deceptive signs and wonders, about the things that appear to be of God but really aren't. And the warnings are strong, and it's very easy to fall into some of that as well. And so we look for the real experience of the Spirit of God, the real thing. And it may look different to how we expect it to look. And there's a real challenge to put aside preconceived ideas about what this is. And you know, there are lots of flavours of how this looks, but only one real church. The old reformers used to distinguish between the visible church and the true church. The visible church is what you'd see, that called themselves church. The true church, only God sees. And it can take it all sorts of forms, but it's where the Spirit is really at work. In all sorts of ways, some of which may be very obvious and visible, some of which may be not so obvious and a bit more hidden. And you know, even just take our benefice here, 4 different parishes. I tell you the truth, the Spirit of God is evident and at work in each of the 4 parishes in this benefice. It looks quite different, different flavours, but the one Spirit, the one true church. And then this other point, the need for a safe space. I just think it's remarkable. This man of standing, this Jewish man, comes to talk to Jesus. What a big deal for him. You know, we could criticize him for coming at night time, for being ashamed because he didn't want to come in the day, but you know, he came and he found there was a space he could come to explore this. That was a big deal. You know, the social stigma around this, the things that he had stood to lose, it would be a bit like, you know, I've got an interest I think the earth might be flat. And I'm going to go and talk to someone about this. And am I going to post it on my Facebook page and let everybody know? You know, or maybe I think Donald Trump is a lovely guy. And I really want to find out more. And I'm going to join his party and maybe, you know, have a little chat with him about some foreign policy because I can learn from him. I'm not saying Jesus is like that, you know, but it's that kind of thing. This is crazy. This is, if you're seen to be, have anything to do with this, then there's something wrong. And Nicodemus was facing that kind of social stigma probably even more so, if he was going to approach Jesus. And yet he did. He reached out because he saw something that was attractive, and so he made the effort. And Jesus was approachable. Jesus was available at night time. It wasn't convenient. It's not always convenient when people who have some inkling, some interest, and it's going to cost them a lot to make some steps to come forward. And you know, we get people coming into the church here sometimes, and it's really hard to walk through that door. And yet they've come, and it's countercultural and it's different, but they're making an effort. And what Nicodemus finds is a warm welcome, someone who's going to listen, understand where he's at, help him for where he is, and guide him to the next stage, to understand a bit more, not to pass judgment on where he is or where he isn't, but to help him to understand more, to go deeper towards this experience of God, of the Spirit of God. You know, sometimes there's tension between those two things. That need to be born of the Spirit, to experience God in a real way, and that need to create a safe space where people can come and be welcome and so on. And sometimes it throws up a bit of tension. But we don't need to argue about it. What we do together is to find a way of doing both these things really well. And we are. We are moving towards this. The warm welcome, the safe space, the real encounter with the Spirit of God. That's what we want. That's where we're heading. And it's a great adventure and a great privilege to be doing this together. Let's learn these lessons from the story of Nicodemus' encounter with Jesus, so that we go deeper in our understanding, so that we go deeper in our experience of God. You know, you can have all the understanding of this stuff without the experience of God, and you dry up, you stow up inside. If you have all the experience of God without the understanding, you will blow up. It gets volatile. But you have the experience, the understanding, hand in hand, you will grow up into the fullness of all that God calls us to be in Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your plan worked out over centuries, from Abraham on to the coming of Jesus, and this offer of new birth, a new start, a new life in you. And we pray for the grace to step fully, more and more deeply into that life of your Spirit, even this morning. We pray that you give us grace to recognize where your Spirit's at work in ways that don't fit our preconceived ideas. And we pray that you'd help us to create those safe spaces where more and more can discover that reality. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to continue to respond, to have opportunity to draw close with God as Charlie leads us in worship. If there's something you'd like prayer for in your life, prayer ministry will be available in the back corner. Just make your way to the back. There's some comfy seats. You can sit down and someone will say a prayer for you, or for things going on in the lives of those you love. And let's just take this opportunity to draw near with God, to open our hearts afresh to the real working of the Spirit of God. Spirit of God, come upon us, we pray, in these ways promised of old. Lead us into that real encounter with you this morning, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.